Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Hold up. It's just like wrong.
Fine. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I've been walking around the studio like George Jefferson all morning. And then just a couple seconds ago, I had Mr. Bentley come over, and he asked me to walk on his back. I never saw it coming. It's 9:17 back in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Show number one from this facility, show number 1,169 overall. And though we miss the Tribune Tower and always will, this place is sweet. Very all right, nice. Or am I right?
I say we abandon the counting of the other shows now.
You think?
Let's just go with one.
Show one? Over?
I will say what I love about the architecture of where we're at. We're up on the 18th floor on the river, is that throughout the morning, it's the first time to observe this, the water will reflect on the building. So you can actually see the Chicago River's water, and it changes with the sunlight.
I thought that apartment had a pool.
But it's a tremendous look. It's something that you don't see as a Chicagoan. You just don't get, you're not privy to see that if you're not up in these buildings all the time. So it's really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and this is just part of the view, because we're going to move down the hall to another studio in a matter of a couple of weeks, probably. And that's got that lake behind us is not a bad way to start your day.
Can we just do an hour here and then go over there for an hour and come back here for an hour?
Yeah, it's like a wardrobe change.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're lucky. Sandberg, you know this. We're lucky on this show that we get to meet some pretty amazing people. Based on what I know about Jen Stevens, our next guest, I don't know that we'll ever meet anybody more amazing.
No, we won't.
And what's the connection to the show here?
Jen is a friend of my sister's.
But your sister, by the way, who just gave me a full knee exam, and she didn't even ask my Blue Cross Blue Shield card.
Yeah, my sister's a physical therapist. That's why she was touching Steve's knee.
And, professionally.
Jen is also knows our own Mark Carmen.
If you know Carmen, you're okay by us as well. And Jen, I know you said you were a little nervous. Don't be. We're just hanging out, just friends here. So how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's nice to see you. The reason I say you're an inspiration is because you are. You've been dealing with cancer for how long?
Over 4 years.
And the initial diagnosis came when? And I don't mean like month and day, but what, were you have symptoms or what was going on?
Oh, I had a cough for a few years, actually, and we treated it for a lot of other things before taking a x-ray of the lung, and then they found it.
So is it lung cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Stage?
It was stage 4 when I was diagnosed.
You look unbelievable.
Thank you.
I mean, stage 4 lung cancer is supposed to be, thanks, check please, it's over, and you look absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So, spirituality, great science, a little bit of both. What do you attribute it to?
I'd say both, yes, definitely.
And you've put together something the rest of us can read that's not just your story. It's a story of how to live. It's a decision to live, a resource guide on how to deal with it, right?
Yep.
What's in there?
A lot of links, and I thought of it like a advice to a friend, because once I was having good results, we got a lot of calls from people who were getting diagnoses, and I would get really sad and upset talking to other people going through the same thing. So my husband said, write something that I can share with people.
Therapy?
And
by writing it a little bit?
Yes, it was. It's also remembering things that happened in the beginning. I think the beginning's really shocking. And I've gotten more acclimated to living with something chronic like this now.
What do you say to people who maybe recently got a diagnosis and need a little advice and inspiration right now?
Well, the first thing is that there's so much hope. There's treatments that are being released all the time, and there's tons of hope.
Including things that weren't around 4 years ago when you first got the news.
Yes, right. I've been lucky enough to catch things that were just getting introduced that were right for me. So that, and the other thing is about fear is a big part of a cancer diagnosis. I was so terrified at first. And I do many, many things all day long, from prayer to meditation to walking, and you saw me knitting earlier. Things that are calming, and because I think it's a bad decision to be living out of fear and terror, it's really important to counteract that so that you can make decisions out of more principled higher principles.
And not just your emotional health. I think we know this, right? That medically we know that creating that sort of inner stress is physically debilitating as well.
Yes, yes. And especially it's bad for cancer to be under stress. Sure. So as calm as you can keep yourself, that's good.
At what point did you realize that you would have to not only deal with the physical deals with having a diagnosis of lung cancer, but also the emotional? Like, at what point did you recognize that you needed to find complementary ways to keep healthy?
That was my plan from the beginning. I've always been pretty holistic. And I took about 28 days before I started the recommended Western treatment and just prayed every day for discernment. I didn't want to just jump into something out of scarcity. And so I used a lot of, you know, just thoughtfulness. And I knew that I didn't want to just go straight down the doctor recommended path without doing my own research and knowing if it was right for me.
Were you that type of person before this?
Yes.
So that, in fact, helped. That was an easy fit for you.
Yes, I was a researcher in marketing, so I know how to do research.
Sandberg?
Yeah.
Well, and your husband and your kids have been along for this. I forget how old they are now, 16 and 12?
I have a almost 20-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Okay, so they were... I know when my sister and I, when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, we were very much aggressive and cut it out, get it off of her. We were, I don't know that we were looking, thinking, pull back and think like.
You weren't thinking about the thoughtfulness.
No, part, and
right?
She was scared and we wanted it off of her body, you know, so we were angry. And so I guess, did you have any anger? Because you weren't a smoker.
No.
And so, yeah. Like, why me? Where, you know, like, why is this happening to
the
me?
The natural human moments.
I'm in the middle of life with these kids and my husband, yeah. And I can't remember switching from anger. We went from anger to fear, and then she was, you know, had surgery, and then we never sat back and thought, how do we enjoy this?
It's different how the people that love you process it versus the way you process it as you go through it, I would think.
Yes, I think it's harder for them. I do.
So, yeah. So is there, you know, we talk about the five stages of grief. Do you have to grieve a healthy life?
Yeah, I have been, I think, through a really similar process. And I was angry. I wasn't angry every day, and I wasn't scared every day. And I've done a lot of emotional social intelligence training, and so I've learned to identify and express my emotions, and it helped to just ride the waves. Like, sometimes I would be really angry, I'd punch my pillows, sometimes I would be crying, but usually I'd try and reach out for comfort. And sometimes, I mean, we had a lot of really dark humor too. We used to watch these sick movies or make cancer jokes.
I think,
and
that's great.
We've you know, my family will go, oh, here it comes, she's gonna pull the cancer card. You know, when I'm don't want to do something or something. So,
and you go, yeah, I get
yeah,
to.
I get to pull the cancer
yes,
card.
I get
yes.
to. Yeah, that's exactly right. Your family, of course, spends a lot of time worrying about you. Are they part of the medical program and the holistic program that you talk about in this piece that you've written, A Decision to Live?
Well, they eat what I eat, which is all organic. They have to go along for the ride on that one.
Did you change that once you were diagnosed? Did you eat differently prior?
I was pretty pretty healthy and toxin-free before I got this diagnosis.
Well, let me jump backwards for a second.
Yeah.
There's people listening now who love somebody with cancer. What is a cancer patient who's in a tough spot, tough diagnosis, what do you want to hear and what do you not want to hear from the people closest to you? You know, they mean well and they want to help, but they say something that really makes things not so much better. Nothing jumps to mind.
Well, it's...
'Cause I'm just
sure. Think people feel awkward and they don't want to bring up a painful topic, and walking on eggshells, feeling that people are walking on eggshells is the most uncomfortable thing for me. I'd rather have people be transparent and say, I'm worried or I don't know what to say.
Right.
And to have the conversation rather than be goofy or, you know, not mention it.
And how many times a day do you have people that love you or mean well or just come across you and find out what you've been dealing with and go, I know someone who had cancer.
Yes.
And they want to tell you that story.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's really common now.
I'm thinking it's not helpful. Is it not helpful, or is it just part of your day?
It's part of my day.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a very nice person.
Thank you.
You could be a complete pain considering what you're dealing through. You seem like a very nice person to me.
Well, the decision to live was an outlook. I think, you know, we can't affect our circumstances, but we can affect how we respond to them. And I think that is our freedom of choice. And the decision to live fully and enjoy the moments and really, you know, treasure every human experience has been a really important part of my journey, not just to try and quote, I'm doing air quotes, stay positive. But if I'm having a sad day, to really, you know, sadness is also a really poignant human experience, and I don't want to narrow the range of my human experiences.
And you make a good point. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We
right.
don't have to have a diagnosis of stage four or anything.
Exactly. There's really no difference between you and me except that I know.
Well, you look much better in that outfit than I would.
Yeah.
Sandberg, what do you want to add?
I just, Jen's story and what she has to say about outlook of life is not just for people that are ill or know people that are
right.
ill. It's all how you react to everything. And that's good to remind yourself
every day.
That's a
great
day.
Thing to remind. Justin,
yeah.
John, last words?
The Decision to Live, a resource guide to complementary and holistic cancer choices.
I'm going to post that on WGN. On our website, so
okay.
you'll be able to get that.
So be able
the Cochran Show.
You can download it for nothing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Jen some cash here. How do
I
do that?
I know. Well, we can figure that out later.
Yeah.
But
really, you're an amazing woman.
Thank you.
And quite an inspiration.
Thanks.
And I'm sure your family's pretty special as well.
They have been invaluable in their support. Amazing support. I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, keep coming in, right? Keep coming in. Be a cheerleader as you go through this, as you continue to win this fight, and because people need to hear from you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Great to be here. Thank you.
A Decision to Live. The link will be posted how fast? How soon? When?
25 minutes.
All right. By the end of the show at 10 o'clock at 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran part of the WGNradio.com webpage.